I have this expression that I use all the time when I'm talking to financial advisors, insurance agents, other organizations like that, and when I'm asked to speak to those groups. And it's one of these expressions I was fortunate enough to hear when I was very, very early in the business. And the expression goes like this: nothing happens until somebody sells someone something. Nothing happens until somebody sells someone something. And the point of that statement is that if you are an organization, I don't care what kind of an organization it is, nothing happens in that organization until you get somebody to do business with you. So, for example, in Randy's business, somebody has got to go out and find a job, right? Somebody. And the truth is that, and that's why we say nothing happens till somebody sells someone. Someone is the person that actually does the buying. Something, whatever it is they're buying. Buddy, see that? That picture? Okay. So the point is that in a great organizations, not good organizations, it's interesting because Colin says this in his book, Good to Great. The difference between great organizations and good organizations is they understand that everybody is in sales. Everybody is in sales. Everybody. So when you have an organization where somebody thinks that they don't have to worry about sales, they don't have to worry about, and you're going to see where I'm coming here in a minute, they don't have to worry about getting somebody in the door, someone in the door. So somebody is the person that brings them in, someone is the person that is brought in, and the something is the person actually does business with us. And great organizations, everybody understands that they're responsible for sales. So you take that organization. Now, that's an organization that people would say, well, that's not a sales organization. What you do is not a sales organization, right? That's what people would say. And I would say that's not true. Okay? I would say that's not true. I would suggest that if they're not getting new customers, if they're not getting new business, if they're not getting additional business with the customers they already have, then that business is ultimately going to fail. Patrick has a pretty successful real estate business. In that business, people would say, well, the agents, the realtors, are the people that are the salespeople. I would suggest that's not true. I would suggest that everybody is responsible. Everyone that's part of that organization is responsible for bringing people into the organization so that that organization thrives. And by the way, you can make this about any business whatsoever. Doesn't make any difference what the business is. What's the point? The point is that we talk about giftedness in the church, and we talk about everyone having specific gifts, but the goal for everyone is that we bring people into the body of Christ. And everyone is responsible for that. Everyone. That is not a gift. That's my point. It is not a gift to bring people the message of Jesus Christ. That is not a gift. In fact, I would suggest it's the responsibility of the organization. It is not a gift. Now, how people work within that body, that's where giftedness comes in. But it is not a gift to bring somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no giftedness involved. That's just our responsibility. And in the same way, if you have, you know, take any business, I don't care what the business is, and exempt from somebody from the idea that they're responsible for helping us get customers, that business is going to struggle. Because you can't ask one person to do it all. That's the point. If you ask one person to do it all, then the truth is you're only going to get so far. You're going to be good, but you're never going to be great.
It's probably in your job description to do it. Just as a member of the club.
Explain that. I think that's an interesting point. Because I by the way, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a requirement of membership in the group that we belong into is making a sale.
Yeah.
It's not a gift. Requirement. It's not special talent.
Right. It's
some
not
are better at it than others.
Well, there's no doubt about that. That has nothing to do with giftedness. That has to do with talent.
Yeah.
Okay. But the truth of the matter is that everyone is responsible for helping the business grow. And when people decide, and this happens all the time in businesses, by the way. Happens all the time. Where people sit there and they go, well, that's not my problem. You know, I'm the closing agent. I'll use the realtor as I'm the closing agent. So I'm the closing agent. So therefore, I never have to worry about bringing up, or asking people to do business with us. The fact of the matter is that if that closing agent sits on their behind and just waits for him to bring in everybody all day long, sooner or later, that closing agent's going to be out of a job. Or let's put it this way, that closing agent should be out of a job. Maybe that's a better way of putting it, okay? The fact of the matter is that we all have to take our responsibility very, very carefully. So that's not giftedness. That's the point that I'm trying to make this morning. I don't want you to think of that as being giftedness. Everyone has the responsibility. Everyone has the responsibility of allowing their faith to be shared with other people. That's just your responsibility. And so why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because the Bible says this in Romans chapter 1. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," meaning to everybody. It's the same word to everybody, whether you are bond, whether you are free, whether you are male, whether you are female, whether you are, rich, poor, fill in the blank, group, sections, diversity, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. Fact is, everyone has an opportunity to come to this, and everyone has the opportunity to share that with someone else. That is not a giftedness. And I want you to hear that because that's important. Because as we get into these gifts that he's going to talk about here in 1 Corinthians, I want you to take and I want you to understand that these are things that are just making the body function better. But everybody has the responsibility of sharing the gospel. Yes, sir.
There's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the overflowing of the Spirit upward. Which would be more manifestation of gifts. So, like, if you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're not even in the club. You're not even in the organization, at that point. So, like, that's not even tangible at that point. But if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then the natural extension of those gifts, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is intentional for the whole organization. It's meant for everybody.
Exactly. And so, yeah.
There's a quote I like. If I had the cure for cancer, why wouldn't I share it
with you? Oh, man, isn't that great? Yeah.
Because you're going to know what you do.
Yeah.
The funny thing is most people who go to church are uncomfortable, quote, unquote, sharing their faith, right? I mean, most people would say, yeah, I'm just not good at that. That's not my gift. But the reality is we all share our faith constantly.
Yeah.
Right? The majority of time it's just simply our behavior, our actions, how we deal with people, how we handle problems, how we resolve issues. So we're always sharing our faith. The reality is that. And we're always, in fact, I would say, what's that very famous saying? In essence, it's, share your faith with everyone, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Right there.
And so we're only sharing our faith in reality. Mm-hmm. And so when something people look at it, I'll go, I'm very nervous about bringing it up to my neighbor or whatever. But the reality is you're sharing it with your neighbor, whether you realize it or not.
Well, that's in essence of what Christ said. He have given everyone that's his a ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Everyone that belongs to Christ have that ministry. You know, so therefore, whether you want to or not, if you belong to him, mm-hmm. you are an ambassador of his. You represent a different people.
Mm-hmm. I think when he's front and center, too, in your life, and he's leading your life,
amen.
Man, people see it.
They have to.
I do believe they see that. Okay, they may not say, "Oh, he's a prick," but they're just saying there's something about this person,
right,
that strikes me in a positive way. Okay, that you know, and then there's you know a lot of times those openings are given to share your faith. But again, if he's leading you, it's not that difficult to do. You know, you want to do that. You actually want to share.
Yeah, and again, I come back to this idea of that you know everybody's responsible for sales. It's the same basic concept. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone has the same ability to intercede on other people's behalf or the same ability to do this or do that. That's where the gifts come in.
Think about my business construction, right? Mm-hmm. Crews, typical crew might have six guys on it, right? Foreman and six skilled labor guys.
Right.
Well, they're all, in essence, representing pipeline. They're all responsible for sales, but those guys, especially the hourly skilled labor guys, they're never going to deal directly with a customer. Or honestly, they just don't. The
right.
very nature of their job, they don't come in contact even with the inspectors. They're not dealing with them. But the reality is they will have a lot to do with my sales and if I get future business by how they handle themselves, how they respond, you know, amongst each other, how they do their work, all of that. So you're right. Everybody is responsible for sales in any way.
Yeah, in some capacity. And the fact of the matter is that if we're not doing our job, then there's probably a pretty good chance that the supervisor is going to report that, and you're probably not going to have that job for a long period of time, okay?
There will be an adjustment.
There will be an adjustment. Yeah. That's true. And so I really want that as sort of the preface to what we're about to read. All right. So go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I know you guys looked at this last week, but I want to just kind of go through a couple of things here that I think are kind of key to understanding this section. Because Paul is not a person that was careless with the words that he chose. He was very careful about the words that he chose. You can see it all the time. If you really study the Word of God, that's the one thing about Paul. Well, frankly, all the apostles, but Paul in particular, because we have more of his writing than anybody else. And so he's very careful about picking certain words. And that's why I think it's such an important thing that words are interpreted properly. Because I think he's trying to be very careful about the words he chooses. All right, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the very first verse, it says this: "As concerning spiritual gifts, my brothers, I don't want you to be," and the word there is actually the word that is the root word for ignorant. So it should be ignorant. Now, some of you are going to have other words in there in your translations. Some of you are going to have like unaware. What are some of the other ones you guys have?
Uninformed.
Uninformed. That's an interesting one. Uninformed. What's yours say,
misunderstand.
Maddie?
Misunderstand.
Misunderstood. Or misunderstand? Misunderstand. Okay. Interesting. It's even the wrong tense. Okay. Misunderstand. What'd you say?
Uninformed.
Uninformed. I saw another one said unaware.
Ignorant.
Yours says ignorant. Ignorant is actually the correct translation, I think, is the correct translation, because the word is actually the root of the word ignorant. Okay? Now, what is ignorance? This is an important thing. A lot of people don't understand what the word ignorant even means. And that's probably one of the reasons why so many of the translators use other words, because the idea of ignorance is misunderstood, I think, in a lot of cases. What exactly, who can answer that? What exactly is ignorance as differentiated from, say, stupidity?
I think it's a lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
I'd say you don't know what you don't know.
Correct. Lack of knowledge. Yeah. Ignorant means you just don't know. Stupidity, on the other hand, is where you know it, but you still don't believe it, or you still don't do it. That's... Yeah, okay, so there's a difference. Stupidity is where you know and you choose not to do something.
There's a choice involved?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You've got the information and you say, I ain't buying that. Okay? Ignorance, on the other hand, is you just don't know what you don't know. That's a great way of putting it, actually. You don't have knowledge. I love that, too. I think that's a great way of saying it. So not knowing what you don't know, or just not having the knowledge or whatever. So he's saying, look, I don't want you to ever have to say, I don't know what I don't know when it comes to spiritual gifts. Okay, that's a very important thing, because I believe that when it comes to spiritual gifts, most of the church is in fact ignorant. I don't think they're stupid. I don't think they willfully are just saying, No. It's not that way. They just don't know. Now, why they don't know is a very interesting question in and of itself. And I think one of the reasons they don't know is because the truth is, very few people teach on this subject, which is crazy to me. When I was doing some research, on this, I was trying to find different... There's just not that much stuff. There's not that much information out there of really, really sound biblical teaching on spiritual gifts. I was like, how is this even possible? There's a handful. Now, in the charismatic church, there's a huge movement towards, but it's focused primarily on the latter two gifts of prophecy and tongue. That's really what they focus on. And they ignore all the other gifts, frankly. And then you have within the non-charismatic, which is interesting. I'll differentiate the world, put the world into two groups, charismatic and non-charismatic, okay? And then there's those of us who are charismatically non-charismatic, which is kind of interesting. But at any rate, within these two functions, within these two, mentalities, let's put it that way, there is this focus towards certain aspects of this. It's almost, the craziest part about it is that the one thing that Paul is very clear about is that he equates spiritual giftedness to like the functions of the body. Okay? As though one part of your body is not as important as the other. Now, this is interesting. I was thinking about this as I was driving here this morning. I saw a sign for an attorney, and the sign was the son who had taken over for the father. I knew the father of this guy, and the father was a very rambunctious, verbose, big old guy, and so forth. And he was a big voice and so forth. Now, his son is nothing like that. His son is about as far apart from his dad as two people probably can be as far as personality. Okay, I'm just talking personality, okay? Just as two people could possibly be. His father is dead. His father is gone. And the reason his father is gone is because his father did not care about his health at all. And that's a fact. I spoke to him. I can't even tell you how many times I spoke to him about this. I said, "Philip, what are you doing, man? Come on. You're gonna have a heart attack, man. The way you take care of yourself is bizarre. Oh no, I'm too busy, Don. I got all these things I'm doing. I'm too involved in this and too involved in that." And sure enough, what happened? Massive heart attack. Was disabled for a couple years, and then ultimately his body just gave up the ghost. Okay, now, and he was only around 60-ish when he died. So. But the truth of the matter is that he focused on certain things, but he ignored a lot of other things within his body. He just ignored them. So he allowed himself to get considerably overweight. He allowed himself to have issues. And now as long as his heart was beating, he didn't care. And then one day his heart decided it couldn't take all this work anymore. And it just decided not to do this anymore, and it basically exploded. Well, not exploded, but you understand what I'm talking about. Massive heart attack, major damage. Next thing you know, a couple years later, he's dead. Now, what's interesting to me is that if he had taken care of each one of those, now every one of us are this way. I'm using him as an example because I believe we're all guilty of this same problem. As long as something is working okay, we don't worry about it. You know, as long as our car or truck or whatever is functioning and just going along, you know, on its merry way, we just don't think anything of it. And then one day we blow a tire out because we haven't been paying attention to the tread, or you know, the oil was not getting changed, and the engine seizes up because we don't have enough oil in the car. Or day before yesterday, I'm driving down Indian Street, and all of a sudden there's back-to-back traffic. And I'm like, what happened? You know, what's going on? It's back. It was backed up. It was just completely backed up. And so finally, I get to where the problem is, and there's this dude out there, and I am not exaggerating. He is right next to Wawa's, and he is putting fuel into his car out of a gas tank because he ran out of gas pulling into Wawa's. Okay? Now, he had to know a long time before he got to Wawa's that he was running out of gas. But he literally falls out of gas or runs out of gas as he's pulling into place. And, of course, that blocks the whole entire Indian Street up. I'm sorry, but I just thought it was funny. Now, I'm sure that other people who were in a hurry or whatever, you know, or late, they weren't as forgiving. But I thought it was funny, personally, that the guy is literally in front of the gas station and runs out of gas. I don't know that I've ever seen that before, but I'm sure it's happened.
His warning light wasn't a priority.
Evidently. And the little red light or yellow light or whatever it was, yeah, was not a priority, yeah. But this is what we do. We think, oh, I can get there. I got enough to do it. Stuff. And so, when you don't pay attention to all the things that are happening in your body, sooner or later, that's when one breaks. And so, we need to be paying attention to one another. That's my point.
Like some maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't pay attention, or this is maintenance, being in the Word. I mean, studying it, letting it be part of your daily routine, your life. You know, if you don't pay attention to it, you have nothing to go off of.
I 100% agree with that, but the point I'm actually trying to make is that we're responsible for all the other members of the body.
You know, yeah. You said that, and I was thinking about what Clark said about the maintenance of the Word, and I'm like, I'm struggling over here, and I'll tell you why I'm struggling with that. You have, I read books, and you have a lot of history that deal with the church in the sense of history.
2,000 years worth.
Yes, exactly. Right. And dealing with the church, and I so appreciate your teaching about the book of Revelation, because I'm always listening to that. And I love your insight on the history of the church. And here's the problem I'm having with the word. People read this Bible all the time. But it takes the Spirit to give you understanding of what you're reading. And after you understand what you're reading, where's the application? So what he's saying about the body, if I'm a diabetic and I don't take care of my issues, then my feet can become black, my toe can become black and become, because I ain't taking care of the issues, right? But when you think about, this is how we do.
Well, that's a really, that's a great example, you know, because your toes take the brunt of the problem of you not paying attention to your insulin. Think about that for
that's
a second.
Exactly right.
It's a really interesting example.
So
that's good.
When you talk about scripture, people read the Bible. I mean, a lot of people read the Bible, but when it comes to understanding and applying it, it goes over your head. The scriptures tell us that if we neglect any part of the body suffers.
All right.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not about how much I read the word. It's about me holding others accountable for what we do with the word.
Yeah.
See, because people read scripture. I mean, the devil reads scripture. Even witches and other people who is not of our faith read scriptures. I've talked to Muslims. They read the Bible, but it's not rightly divided. So if we read the scriptures and we have these gifts among each other, and we don't call each other out on it, then the whole body's going to be neglected. Because if I don't pay attention to my insulin, what happens? My whole body might not shut down, but it could start off with my toes. If I continue not paying the interest, it get up to a knee. If that, I don't still pay attention, it gets to a leg. It studies chopping. Well, that's how it is in the body of Christ. We come together. You know, this church is about 2,000 or 3,000 people. Just
if they all showed up, yeah.
So just look at this men group. What did that tell you about this body? Honestly, take a back step and ask yourself, what do that tell you about his body?
Yep.
What do it tell you? It should tell you that someplace, I'm sorry.
No, no, you're good. Keep going. This
someplace
is good.
Someplace in the body, something is being neglected. Something is being neglected. You know, this morning I was on my knees. I'm just sharing this with you. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to promise you. Try to. I was on my knees this morning, but for the last week, you know what? Tyler Woods been coming to my mind.
Really?
Yeah. And I've been thinking about Tyler because I haven't seen him in a minute. I know it's tax season. But for a whole week, he's been on my mind. And that, he's a brother here. And this morning, I got on my knees and I just prayed for him and his family. Then I texted him. He hadn't responded. But the mere fact we should be that much concerned when we don't see people that we're used to seeing, just send them a text. How many of us do that? How many of us honestly, because he's part of his body. And if you ain't seen him in 2 or 3 months, it's so easy for us to drift.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, and I think that's the point that I'm trying to make today is that we oftentimes mix up the spiritual gifting, because spiritual giftingness, I don't want to trip. It would have been pretty.
No, it might not be.
Spiritual giftingness is kind of cool, because if we truly understand that we are a body, and that everybody has a place in that body, in the same way that my heart has a certain gift. It has the gift of pumping blood through my veins. My veins have a gift. They have a gift of holding that blood. you know, if I get a perforation in one of my veins, my heart can be working as good as it wants and I will still bleed out. Right? I mean, that's a fact. In fact, my heart will actually cause me to bleed out faster, which is even more interesting. The fact is that these things all are interrelated. They're all together and so forth. So Paul starts us off by saying, I don't want you guys to be ignorant. I don't want you to be I don't want you to lack the knowledge. I don't want you to have this misunderstanding because no one ever told you. So in the very next verse, he says, you know. So here he's saying that you don't know. That's what ignorant means, right? You don't have any knowledge. But then he says, well, but here's what you do know. Here's what you do know. You know that when you were unbelievers, it's interesting because some Bibles will actually say pagans there, okay? But the word actually is unbelievers. It's actually the word for believer, which has fallen out of my brain right now, with the letter A in front of it, okay, in Greek. So it's without belief. When you were without belief, when you were unbelievers, you were led astray to idols that can't speak. However, you were led. In other words, no matter what was going on, you basically always sort of fell back into that, you know, that problem of worshiping things that are not God. That's basically what that's all about. Okay, worshiping the so that's what you knew.
Because you were ignorant.
Because you were ignorant. Okay? Because you were ignorant, that's what you knew. All you knew as an unbeliever was you had the opportunity to worship Diana or worship whatever. Okay, that's what he's basically trying to say here. Okay, now keep on going. He says, therefore, I make known. And by the way, this is interesting because that's the word there is actually for I'm going to take away your ignorance. That's the idea. Okay, I'm going to take away your ignorance. So he says, therefore, I am going to take away your ignorance from you. I'm going to make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. That's a pretty interesting example that he uses there. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Why would he make that statement? Why would he say that? Why I want you to think about this. Therefore, I want you to know, I'm going to make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Why would anybody? Why would he say that?
Because the Spirit can't curse Jesus.
Okay, well, but there's
because
a...
Because maybe they were cursing
bingo!
Jesus, like today, when people throw out, you know, in a moment of exasperation.
Obviously, this was going on. Obviously, there were people that were basically, you know, saying that Jesus was not God, that Jesus was not who he represented. There were people out there that were saying that Jesus is accursed. Or, I mean, he wouldn't have said it unless it was happening, right? What would be the point of saying it? I mean, if that never occurred, if that never actually took place, right? Then why would he have said it? So he said it because obviously it took place. Somebody was out there that was saying, you know, Jesus is not who he says he is.
How many people say Jesus Christ? Oh my. It's not honoring. Respectful,
right.
Not worshiping.
Not at all. So here we've got.
Wow.
Here we got him. You know, he's now his purpose of this whole thing is he wants to talk about spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting in all the stuff that I was reading about this section of scripture. Everybody just skips right over these first four verses, almost like they don't even exist. And he's sitting here going, look, I just want you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to. So here's the things you did know. You did know that idol worship was just a part of your way of doing business. But no one who is in the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is accursed. So somebody must have been saying that he was accursed. That's the point I'm trying to make, okay? Somebody within that body must have been saying, well, you know, Jesus isn't who he says he is, or whatever. And by the way, he's not talking about unbelievers here. Because he says, when you were an unbeliever, this is the way it was. So he's talking to believers, right? He calls them brothers, right? Yeah, exactly. He calls them brothers right off the bat. Okay, so he's not talking to unbelievers here. So that's why I don't lose a whole lot of sleep when I hear unbelievers basically, you know, making statements about Jesus they don't know anything about. But when believers make those statements, that's when we got issues. Okay. All right. So look at what he says. He says, therefore, I make known to you. Again, this is the whole thing about being ignorant. I'm not gonna allow you to be ignorant. It's basically what he's saying. I'm going to make known to you that no one speaking of the Spirit can change, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What's that all about? Well, again, what he's saying is that unless you've been indwelt with the Spirit of God, amen, you don't get that.
You're not going to say that.
You're not going to say that.
You go around saying, hey, Jesus is my Lord, amen, if he's not.
Right.
And not like you said, my Lord. And I think that's what this thing is like. Not just is Lord, but my Lord.
My Lord. That's a really interesting. Yeah, it's personal. Exactly. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it really is. It's a beautiful picture that he's bringing out here at the very beginning of this whole entire thing that he wants everybody to understand. And that is that I don't want you to be ignorant, which is what you were before you were believers. Now I want you to understand that you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. That's the point.
So before Pentecost, no indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
And obviously, interesting, it's funny that you say that because mm-hmm. prior to Pentecost, no power.
Mm-hmm. Except if I go away, the law. I can't sin.
I'm sorry?
They were on the law.
Yeah.
They had the law. That's what brought them to God.
Right, but they didn't have any power.
No power.
Okay.
You know, in regards to this, my observations are two things as relates to the church. The old saying, ignorance is bliss. I think there's a lot of people in the church mm-hmm. who, whether it's conscious or unconscious,
yep,
like that approach mm-hmm. because without the knowledge, there's no responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. When you're ignorant, mm-hmm. you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Okay. And then I have a different take, a little bit, Orlando, that I don't think many people in church actually read Scripture very much. They might read snippets, a verse here,
sure,
a verse there, usually in some devotional that's about 60 seconds long, okay, or some 30-second prayer. But I don't think many people in the church actually read the Scriptures on a regular, daily, in-depth basis.
So it's really funny you said last night my daughters wanted to watch Pirates of the Caribbean. Now this movie's
the first one, what? You got
about four. Well, second, it actually was the second. They wanted to watch the second one. They had never seen the second one. They wanted to watch the second one of the Pirates of the Caribbean. And by the way, we got about 2/3 of the way through it and they went to bed. Which I thought was him. But there's this scene in that movie. Okay, and it's the only reason I know this is because I just saw it last night. There's this scene in this movie where there's these two guys that are pirates on the ship, and they get cast off the ship, and one of the things that they retrieve is this Bible. And so one of the guys is there, and he's got the Bible open, and he's like flipping through the Bible. And the guy says to him, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm reading the Bible. He says, don't you know you're illiterate? He says, yeah, but I'm sure some of it will rub off. And I just, that was, whoever wrote that was classic. I was just, yeah, you're illiterate. Yeah, but I'm sure some of it will rub off. You know, I think that's kind of how people read the Bible. They think like, you know, some of them will rub off, you know.
And it's like,
people go to church, well, some of it's going to rub off.
Yeah.
If I sit in the garage, I'm going to become a car.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And to say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit, so many times, I think many of us have said or heard said, when I found the Lord.
Mm.
Well, that's saying the Lord found us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's saying.
You know? And I think that's critically important to remember.
Yeah, and I think it's the basis of spiritual giftedness. That's the point that he's trying to make, is that this the point of this spiritual giftedness is that God gave you the Spirit as the evidence of the fact that you're part of this body. That's the evidence, okay? So that's why he doesn't want us to be ignorant about how to use the Spirit of God, which is within you. That's the point. We need to figure out a way to use the Spirit of God that's within us. Clark was sharing with me that last week after y'all were finished with the thing, you carried the conversation over to the restaurant and went for another hour over at the restaurant and so forth. And the fact of the matter is that that's a good thing. I'm excited about that. I think that's great. You know, that we're having this conversation because that's what we should be doing. We should be having that conversation beyond just, you know, a study kind of thing, but just as a conversation, we should be talking about these things and so forth. And so with that as the kind of the backdrop, he then says, now there are a variety of different giftedness, variety of different gifts. Just like there's a variety of different body parts. Your heart works different than your eyes work different than your ears work different than your fingers, whatever. I mean, we all get this, okay? And the truth of the matter is that when you have arthritis, I don't have arthritis, but I guess I got a little bit, but you know, just because of age, but I don't have it the way some people have it. Okay, I mean, I've got a little bit of bent fingers and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, everything works fine. Just, you know, I can hold stuff, I can grip stuff and so forth. I have a friend of mine who has gotten, her arthritis has gotten so bad in her fingers that she can barely hold on to a cup. Literally, she can barely hold on to a cup. She has to have a handle on a cup to pick up a cup. Because if she doesn't have a handle on that cup, she will drop that cup. She's lost her dexterity completely in her fingers. And unfortunately, because her fingers are so painful and so forth, it's really all she ever thinks about. It's like every time I talk to her, that's all she really thinks about is the fact that her fingers are always hurting and, you know, and so forth, the pain and so forth from that. And I said, her name is Barbara. I said to her, I said, Barbara, you know, we need to get going on some other. Well, Barbara now has contracted cancer. She has gotten cancer. And suddenly her finger problem is not that big a deal anymore. It was really interesting because now she's sitting here going, oh my gosh, I got this other thing that's a really big issue. And suddenly the finger thing, and by the way, it doesn't mean that it went away. It didn't mean that it got better. It didn't get any better. The woman cannot pick up a cup. Okay, so she's not saying something bad. But what I'm saying is that we pay attention to those things which are seemingly important until something is more important. Until something is bigger. So something is great. And that's the way it is amongst the body of believers. We don't pay attention to people that are in our body until something really bad happens. And then we sit there and go, oh gosh, what happened to Jack? You know, what happened to, you know, to Jim? What happened to Bill? What happened to whoever? Oh yeah, well, you know, this, whatever. And this is why I think it's such a big deal that we are, that we spend time with one another, that we want to grow with one another, that we really function as a body with one another. I mean, I appreciate so much that Orlando texted me the other night and says, "Hey, we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to have prayer tonight." Well, it turns out I was at a graduation. I was at my girl's graduation. Couldn't do it, but I so appreciated that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's all about. When I got a thing from my buddy Chris the other day, and he says, man, we need to get together. I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, and it wasn't just, you know, hey, we need to get together. It was like, no, we need to get together. Like we need to do this. And I was like, well, that's what it's all about. And because he said, man, I just miss us getting together. We need to get together. So we're getting together. In fact, tomorrow, we're going to spend a day together tomorrow. And that's what we need to be doing as believers. We need to be supporting one another. We need to be building one another up. We need to be caring. That's what this whole spiritual giftedness thing is all about. This spiritual giftedness is not about you having the ability to do something miraculous. It's not about you having the ability to, you know, lay hands on somebody and heal that person. It's not about speaking in tongues, although those are all part of it. At the end of the day, what it is all about is supporting all the other brothers and sisters that are in the body so that we function as a body. But I'm telling you, just in the same way that Barbara was not paying attention to this issue that was going on in her bloodstream, which led to leukemia, because all she really cared about was her fingers hurt. And I'm not suggesting she could have done much of anything about the I don't know what she could have done about the. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to. But my point is that we need to be spending time with one another. We need to be building one another up. We need to be making, you know, an opportunity to get together. I was thinking about this. We're Elwoods don't even know about this, but we're making plans to go up to Minnesota this year. The first thing I said to my wife was, well, if we go up to Minnesota, we need to make sure we get down to Elwoods and hang out with them for a day or so. Why? Well, because they're there. I'm going to be an hour away from them. I'm not going to go visit them. Right? I mean, but you have to be intentional about this stuff. That's my point. You have to be intentional. You have to sit there and go, yo, we got to make this happen.
I was,
and if you said no, that's fine. That's your prerogative, and that's okay. Okay, but my point is that that's okay. I mean, but do you see where I'm coming from? I mean, that's the point. The point is that as much as we are able to, we need to be doing this kind of stuff. We need to be basically trying to be part of one another's lives. And the problem is that we don't take the time to do it. Yes, sir.
The thought came to me that until I experienced the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, it took me out of the hopelessness that was going on in my life. I'm thinking, was I ignorant or was it stupidity that kept me where I was at? That was the first thing that came to my mind.
And what do you think it was?
I think that I was just living so much the flesh that I couldn't see. That, like you said, it came to a point where I just feel, I've had enough of your insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to pluck you from here and I'm going to take over. Mm-hmm. And then my life changed. Now, the other thing is this responsibility that you talk about. Now, I'm getting for Orlando, and I've heard it said this room should be for good men. But I think of every time I have the opportunity to change, to share with people the life power of Jesus Christ, invite them here, and the best I can do is plant a mustard seed.
Right.
You know, continue to plant, you know, continue to invite people here. Continue. Every time I have an opportunity. But yet, that's all I can do. And there was times I got frustrated. Now I just realize that's my responsibility is to share that with people. Now where they come or not,
that's not your problem.
That's not my responsibility. But what is my responsibility is to share that. The other thing is that
But to go back to your original question, all right, I want to answer that question because I think I want you to answer that question. You asked the question, when I was before, was it ignorance or was it stupidity? So what was it?
In hindsight, probably stupidity.
No, it was ignorance.
Oh, okay.
No, and I'm not trying to.
No, I was thinking because I knew there was another way.
We're too hard on ourselves. The point is that we're too hard on ourselves. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
We're too hard on ourselves. The truth is you didn't know any better. You really didn't. You didn't know any better. Here's the problem. Once you do know better, then it's a problem. Okay? So there's a verse that says, to whom much is given, much is required. That's what he's talking about. Now you've been given the truth. Oh man, now I gotta do something about it. Okay? Before I didn't know any better. Now I do.
This country, it's a little above.
Oh, it's totally. Sure.
You've heard of Jesus Christ. You've heard of God. You've heard of Christianity. Regardless, okay, you have. You've heard what is probably the essence of it. Okay, and let's face it, the vast majority have nothing to do with it. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's stupidity. Okay, coupled with ignorance.
Yeah, I think it's a little of both in many cases, and we understand all of that, and so forth. But to get back to your original, to get back to that statement, because I think it's just such a big deal. What do you do with it? Now that you have been given the information, what do you do with it?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, but that's the real question. Okay, what am I doing? What do I do with it? And here's what you do with it. Whenever you're given the opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. That's the point. You don't have to go out looking for opportunities, by the way. I it's funny. I tell this to salespeople all the time. You know, you guys are always talking about, well, how do I prospect for new, you know, so, and I always say, just pay attention to people around you.
Just live life.
Yeah, just pay attention to the people around you, and you're probably going to get more business than 95% of the other people who aren't paying attention, who are out there, you know, sending out all these advertisements and all this other kind of stuff. If you just would pay attention to the people that are around you, you probably get a lot more business than you otherwise would. Now, look, that's an oversimplification, but what I'm saying is that that's the way it is with us as believers. We don't pay attention to the opportunities that are given to us. And we're given opportunities all the time. All the time.
You're also fighting the culture in this country that makes Christians look bad all the time. I mean, that's their goal, is to make Christians look bad.
But it's our goal to make them look good.
No, I mean, but you're overcoming
the
system in this country. I mean, I was watching a movie. Anytime you watch a movie, when do they make a Christian look good? Never.
Or now they don't even discuss them.
But you know, they have some great.
Those are new Christian movies. That's not Hollywood. Yeah. That's not the news media. Yeah, that's not our colleges.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the point.
Everywhere,
regardless of how
the government.
I mean, regardless of how the world acts, regardless of what they say, it's still our responsibility to do it.
No, but I'm saying what you have to overcome.
Yes,
I mean.
But you
they're not making it easy.
But you have the what?
Sure.
You have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And he gives you the strength to overcome. You know, the world tells us this is how we should act, or this is how we should do. Don said it perfectly. He said, we should do it purposely.
I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the people that we're witnessing to, or the struggle you're up against because the negativity of the people you're trying to change.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about who we want to bring into the.
And again, this comes back.
Fighting against just indoctrination.
Right.
Pounded every day. Every day is being pounded into them that Christianity's bad. I mean, it really is.
It was true in Jesus' day.
Yeah.
I mean, he said it.
Yeah, I was just thinking like.
It's a good point, though. It's a very valid point.
Yeah, like,
and it's deliberate.
Someone can see these gifts and think like hierarchy or whatever, and just all this, but like it says in Romans how like the Spirit's job is to conform us into the image of Jesus, you know?
Yep.
And it's like what you said, you know, they'll see the way you live, right? Like, I grew up my whole life, I knew a lot of Christians, but I only saw a few. My sister-in-law, Molly, you know, like, just a couple people where you're like, I know that that person's an actual Christian. And it's just like the way you live, you know, I feel like when like, the evidence of your faith is you're conforming to Jesus. And I think if we did that, then everyone would look at Christians and be like, oh, wow, that's a Christian, you know?
Like Joel, soccer on Sunday mornings. When I was growing up, nothing would have been scheduled for children on a Sunday. I mean, or Wednesday night. There wasn't any athletics on Wednesday night because that was, you know, church night. That's a thing of the past. I mean,
the thing of the past is mostly we don't even have prayer meetings in churches. I mean, I grew up where we had prayer meetings. We a Tuesday or a Thursday. The church would come together and we would have 2-hour prayer. And then just remember, the pastor is in the pulpit leading the prayer. And we used to have fast. And we used to fast on the whole weekend. But now we don't have that. And I think it's purposeful. Mm-hmm. But it's also purposeful for us to revert back to what the word says. You know, it's been stuck in my spirit, and I'm going to just keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And I think
that's... Then I will hear from heaven.
And I will hear.
Their land.
We have to get it. And I'm not against big churches. I don't want you to understand that. But a lot of big churches just want to preach. Many of them don't teach. They have 2 or 3 different services.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of churches that have what we have here. Tuesday and Thursday. You don't have this kind of teaching in other churches. You really don't. They have a service where the pastor is preaching, but the interaction, no, it's not there. And this, for me, is what I love. I feast on stuff like this. Because this is where I grow. I don't want peanut butter and jelly. I've been saying that for a long time. I don't want peanut butter and jelly. I want something where my soul going to be fed. And I get fed here. I actually eat and get full. But it has to be purposeful. Full.
You don't get full.
I get full, bro. You're always but that's the whole. That's the whole thing. You get full. You empty some of it out. You come back and eat some more. But the thing is, I was listening to Randy. You know, a little while ago, Randy said, just in the last 5 years, he made that commitment. Now he's been in church for a long time, but he made that commitment to really get to know Christ.
You have to be intentional.
That's the point. That's exactly what I wanted to say. You was intentional. Because everything else, this is just fluff.
Yeah. If you're not intentional, the world will take over.
Amen.
And you'll just go 100 miles an hour. And when you go 100 miles an hour, you don't hear God, you don't see God, you don't experience God. And that's what the devil wants.
Amen.
I believe that's why the devil has given us all we have in technology just to keep us so busy that we don't have time to even think about God.
Like you said, this is intentional. Yeah. And that's how we got, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. That's how we got to treat each other. Intention. Mm-hmm. If you don't see a brother, you know, when I was building my house, I was trying to get my house together, I had so many people text me, hey, bro, what's going on? How you doing? What's happening with you? Because I wanted to meet. But that's what we should be doing. When you don't see people in the meeting that's used to coming, send them a text. Give them a shout out. Hey, I ain't seen you in a while, bro. How you doing? What's going on? Because you don't know. People have a tendency of drifting and sliding. And that's what the enemy wants. But there's no fellowship. It's so easy to backslide. It really is.
Yep. All right, I got to go too. So let's just kind of end it on this. Patch, you had something you wanted to share? No. No? Okay. we're going to continue this next week. We're going to talk about, you know, we're getting it in the next couple of verses, but I fully intended to get a lot further than we did.
I'm sorry, bro.
It's all right. It's good. Because there are varieties of ministries, and there are variety, but there's only one Lord. That's the other point that we didn't get into, you know, which I think is kind of cool. But we're gonna continue this conversation next week. I think it's such a big deal. I really do, in understanding the work of the Spirit of God. But the one thing that I will say, just to kind of bring this thing, nothing happens in the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. And that's really what this is all about. So let's just pray and get out of here. Father, we are thankful. We are just so grateful for all that you do for us and through us. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would come and would work within us this day and this week and this weekend and just as we continue to walk with you, that we see this tremendous work of your Spirit continuing and growing within each one of us. We thank you for him, and we pray in his name. Amen.